this is Tiffany.
And Dominic, and guest pirate.
Trixie.
And we're here at a private party with Here For Now. Can you guys introduce yourselves and tell us what instruments you play?
Yes, I'm Alex Watts, and I am drums and vocals.
I'm Dora Kibbe, and I play the upright bass.
I'm Smitty, and I play the electric bass.
My name's Julian, I'm rhythm guitar and vocals.
I'm DJ Dan Kay, I play turntables.
And I'm Jesse McDermott, and I play lead acoustic and electric guitar.
I am hypnotized. Julian, did you form this band?
I think I co-formed the band. Jesse and I were playing acoustic music together in our living rooms for a good year and a half, pushing 2 years, whenever we hooked up with Alex for drums, and we had a lot of the foundation songwriting down by then. But it just kind of, over the past two and a half years, as
Woo! Julian rolls!
As Here For Now, we've kind of expanded. We're six pieces now. We were short a bassist up until a few months ago, and we actually got two at the same time.
Whoa.
So we're just kind of still enjoying that.
That's one of the first things I noticed about the band was two bassists. So when I'm going to hand this over to the bassist here. Why don't you tell us how you guys work together?
Well, basically, we both started at the same time, and we're all learning the same stuff, so she's way low, so I try to keep it high and just match her.
And I usually try to play the bow when he's playing so that we can hear the difference between the deeper sound and the electric.
So, Julian, where's your red guitar?
I've upgraded. After only owning one guitar my whole, you know, time as a musician, I've got a second one, and it's better. So the red one was painted upon, and that worked well for a while. But now I got a nice, classy performer's guitar, so that's what you see.
Wait, now, Trixie, you got to explain why you're asking about a red guitar.
Well, that was actually the first... I wouldn't say it was the first thing I noticed about you. It was your sound, but your guitar, definitely, the hand-painted guitar... And then the cover of the TLC Waterfall.
You're saying it wasn't an upgrade?
She wants it back.
You want it back. Oh, I guess.
No,
retrofit, I believe.
Are we already that far that people wish we hadn't abandoned our roots?
Absolutely. Where did you come up with the name Here For Now?
Oh, that was actually, Jesse and I were pretty drunk. And we were hanging out with two friends, and we spent a good 2-3 hours just like, look, we've been playing together, we've been starting to talk to other musicians, we need a band name, and we're just, you know, brainstorming, and we thought, well, something temporary, something that means fleeting, and there's a song by someone in my head that I knew called Here For Now, but I didn't want to name the band after a song by someone, so I said, all right, well, I'll keep it in my head and not bring it up. And then everybody got to Here And Now, Here And Now. And I was like, oh, no, I just need to throw it out. And I threw it out, and immediately Jesse said, well, let's change the spelling from here, H-E-R-E, to here, H-E-A-R. And I was like, oh, well, that makes it ours. So kind of came about after 4 hours of intense deliberation. And since there were four of us in the room at the time, Here For Now, we thought that was pretty much perfect.
Also, with the personnel was always changing, so everyone's kind of here for now. It was a very whimsical kind of, you know, everyone was in and out. We've had numerous bass players and percussionists, so it worked out in many different levels.
Equipment, too. Yeah. Equipment tends to be here for now.
Another unique part of the band, besides having two bassists, is DJ. How did that come about?
Julian had a vision about a beatboxing DJ. And my girlfriend knew Jesse and Julian. It just kind of happened. Gravitated towards them. I like their sound. I'm a fan first, part of the band second. And it just kind of worked out. I have a collection of records, and I keep my bag stocked with stuff that I think is going to go with. But usually I fit it live. That's mm-hmm. how it starts. Like the first four times, I'll just play it live and feel it out, see how it works with the song, go by the topic. Choose some strange samples. I like strange stuff. Stuff that'll make people laugh or make people think.
It's really part of it now, though. Like when he hasn't been there and we hear his parts now. Like he's a part of it. It's supposed to be there. Like those spaces where they played their music and he has his clips, they go there now. They fit. They're part of the puzzle piece and it was meant to be there. So I think it's great.
And this is a fan, and what's your name?
I'm Carol.
Carol.
Yes, okay. Former roommate of Julian.
And do you have any other questions for the band?
I'd like to know what they see themselves doing in the next couple of years, where they want to be.
First of all, you know, for the next couple of years, the new songs that we have been playing live that haven't been recorded are taking on a whole different personality than the stuff that we have recorded now. And I think that it's a positive movement that we're having to change it up. We're getting more on the electric guitar. We're getting some more genres of music mixed into the Here For Now sound. And so I continue just changing and evolving as the band, as all bands do when they play for years and years. And I think it's already moving in a positive direction just to keep playing with each other, try to get out on the road a little bit and cut another album.
I'm hoping that 2 years from now we can still be enjoying it as much as we do now.
More.
It's truly, truly a fun thing to do.
Jesse?
Well, in a couple of years, I could only hope that that the band is, I know it's going to evolve. It's evolved so fast. It changes so fast. And we all work to keep each other interested. That's one of the key things, is keeping fellow band members interested, keeping a drummer busy. Good drummer's got to stay busy. Good DJ's got to have his good samples. We always have to make room and always have it, keeping our minds, space for everybody else. And I think we're doing that better and better. And I think as we evolve in a couple of years, we're going to have a really, just as sweet a sound, hopefully, better and getting better as musicians, and a broader, better sense of music. And that's where I hope we are in 2 years.
For sure. Now, what's one of your favorite songs right now to play?
Trust.
I think Trust is everyone's, hands down, besides one, apparently.
Where I stand, you have dreams of your own, and I don't want to change your plans. All that I'm running on is trust, no room for faith in what will become of us. Don't hesitate now, more than a want, it's a must, no room for choice. And every time we touch, I am rejoicing.
First song that I ever learned to play on the upright bass with Julian was Woke Up, and that has been my favorite song because it's the only one that I can still play without a bow. He hasn't made me instrument the bow yet.
If I ask you who was the person most responsible for your early success, who would you name?
You know, that's something I'm often asked. There's what you might call a team.
Living without you all alone. Living without you all alone. Living without you all alone. Living without you all alone.
Those are two of the new songs, like the next generation. It's cool to look back, and actually I spent quite a while. Our first album isn't out yet. We're paying off the royalties of the DJ samples. Mm. But the production company is going to actually, mass produce it for us. They have all the information. So as soon as that bill is paid, it'll get produced or manufactured. But I hadn't listened to the album in a few months, actually, because it's been so long. And I put it in the other day, and I was like, it's a good start.
I can't wait.
But what we're doing now is... it just feels a lot cleaner, a lot smoother. It feels like we can go more places with it. Not as much a pie slice. Uh-huh.
Right. I agree.
My favorite song is a newbie. Yeah. is A New Disease. That's one of the classic songs. And when I played on it, it was the first time I'd ever heard it, and I heard it in the studio. And I think it has a really live, raw feel, but it's also got a great message. I think that's why I really love that song.
If you have ears to hear, I'm sure you heard about the human race. Since these primates hit the ground, you know things sure have changed. You gotta watch your back, don't take a chance, just react to those homo sapiens. At any time they'll attack, you'll be caught on your back. A stallion and pasture, a slave to a master, a doe in the gun sight, or some fish that they've captured on the way to the oily sea. Whoa, where are they going? It's hard to tell. So far that heaven is all hell. They're so determined there could be a new disease.
We're kind of changing our world, and not for the better. And I think that music is a tool, and we can teach people through that. I think that's a prime example of a song that's saying something real, something that really matters.
Yeah. I would also agree. My favorite song is Higher Good, and it's on the album that we just trying to get out now. And it's an excellent song. It also has just such an intense, awesome message lyrically, and also it's got a lot of good music going on. A little more complex, and a lot of good changes and stops. So musically, it's one of my favorite songs all around. It's a great song.
On the album, we tried to call up pretty much every musician we'd worked with in the mm-hmm. past and have them guest somewhere. And one song on the album actually was not written by anyone in the band. It's by a rapper friend of ours. We took his song and transposed it to acoustic guitar off his album. So covered it, but he continued to be the vocals. And, you know, I sang the produced hook and nothing else. So we just tried to mix it up and keep, at least for that first album, you know, everybody who'd been with us, who'd maintained a positive relationship, we tried to incorporate them, some backup vocals. And
whatever. What's his name?
AP3.
Arthur Prescott the third?
No, Alfred Perkins.
Alfred Perkins the third.
Close enough.
My bad.
He was raised in his dad's studio, and his dad's been a rapper and producer since he was born. Oh. And he became a rapper to improve on his dad's style. And he comes in and out of the game, and we actually haven't heard from him in a while, but all lights are green with him, and you know, years from now, we'll still be working with him for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, you and me together, tell me what could be better. Tell me what could be better than writing a love letter. Just to show you how I feel, and it's real, what's the deal? Give me a chance so I don't have to steal your heart. You could give it to me willingly, and on a scale from 1 to 10, I wanna be with you infinity. The weight is killing me, I want your mind, body, and soul. And I wanna be with you when your mind and body gets old. You got a smile that could turn a rainy day into clear skies with those beautiful brown eyes. No lie, you could be with any guy, but any guy couldn't treat you the way that I could. I would give you the world, diamonds and pearls if you were my girl. But I know you ain't into all that, and my love is a fact. Listen to my heart sing as the hook comes back.
You mentioned that you have a new album coming out. When will that be?
Right now, it's kind of tricky to say, like we mentioned, with trying to get the rights of some of the spoken word and DJ samples that are in the album are turning out to be a little bit more of a pain than we originally had thought. Now, other than that, all the art is done by a company called MWM, which is a company in Baltimore, Maryland. And we have a very good artist named Nicole Magarosi working on all the art. And so that's all finished, and all the recording is all done. We recorded at Electric Canyon Studios here in Chico. So other than that, everything is done. We're just waiting to get the titles to these samples to send it off.
And I read that everything's printed on recycled paper. Is that true?
It was an important thing that we wanted to do, was have it recycled.
There was a moment of debate in an afternoon about, you know, the investment, because per CD, the cost nearly doubled to make the packaging all recycled. The only thing in the whole package that will not be recycled is the little tab the CD actually clips into. We plastic, but everything else in the inks are organic. And we thought, you know, it's our first album, you know, there's always a scale, 5, 10, 15, what do you charge? And we're like, well, if it's in a little jewel case, we can't charge anything more than 10 because no one knows who we are. Uh-huh. And we're like, you know, offset the cost, I think, coming out the gate doing something we believe in. Uh-huh. And you know, it may be an inconvenient truth, but it's true. We need to kind of change our ways. So I think, though it postponed the process of having the whole thing done, finding the right, you know, manufacturer.
And was that hard to do?
There's some people out there, I think probably, and Alex did a lot of this, probably the hardest part was finding, you know, reliable quotes. We actually, the first people who said they'd do it gave us a great price that we thought was great, you know, and then they told us, no, all our paper is recyclable.
Yeah, we got a price quote, and so I called back. I just had this weird feeling, so I called back and talked to the woman, and I said, I just want to make sure that everything's good, that the inks are soy-based, and that the paper that's going to be printed on was recycled. And she goes, well, let me check into that. And she comes back, and she's like, well, sir, all of our stuff... it's recyclable, but it's not recycled. And I said, okay, well, you can go ahead and, like, cancel our order. And so I had to go back through, you know, doing research again. It took me, like, another 2 weeks to find the right people. And we found a company called Groovehouse Records out of L.A., and they've been great on the phone. They've been nothing but, you know, experts on it and talking to our artists and everything like that. They've been really great. So we're excited to get it back, you know, and... all the recycled paper is really going to pay off, and I think our fans would appreciate it too, you know, because we're not only, you know, talking the talk, but we're walking the walk and getting, you know, a product out that we would like to buy ourselves.
So I want to ask you guys, what got you into music in the first place? I mean, this is a, you know, question for all of you individually, but how did you guys get started?
I would really like to jump on that one. I didn't start playing music till just over four and a half years ago, and I really wanted to play music when I was younger, but I thought I didn't have the mind for it or whatever. I was very mathematically and scientifically oriented, and some people said, oh, that's not artsy-fartsy, you can't play music. So I listened to that. And then I met Julian, actually, and I really dug his style of guitar playing. And I really dug the new, fresh sound that he was bringing out, and I wanted to learn, and I asked him to teach me, and I took it very seriously. I probably practiced two and a half hours a day, tore my fingers apart, but it's all worth it. It, you know, came around really fast. Julian was great. You know, he was really patient. I'm not nearly as patient when it comes to teaching people things, and I was stoked to get that shot, and so this is my first band. I feel like I'm extremely lucky, and I'm, you know, blessed to be where I'm at now.
And where did the two of you meet?
We met in Orville. We both used to work at a casino in Orville, and he just came through by way of Berkeley, and he just came into Orville looking for a cheaper place to live, and I was there, you know, wishing I wasn't. and so we would hang out, you know, just spend time together, just playing music. Before we played music, we were good friends for at least a year. Played ping pong and all kinds of fun stuff. And then, you know, it became video games and jamming. And it was awesome. And then from there, it just kind of took off. It really did.
Yeah, he was a cook. I was a server. And that very, very rarely, I don't know who's familiar with food service, very rarely do cooks, it's different people. It's front of the house, back of the house, and that window is a war zone. And we always had, in the whole year and a half we worked together, there was one time that it got down, but I apologize, it was my fault.
It was horrible, but it's over with now, you know. In hindsight, it's all good. I'm really stoked. I feel like I've been given a musical blessing, step into this band and write music with Julian, wrote music with him hand in hand. He'd write rhythms and lyrics and say, write some leads. Really confident in it, really confident in the leads, and that's something that every musician needs, is somebody to have a sense of confidence in what they're doing, because a lot of the time a new musician really feels rusty and crappy and like they can't get anywhere. And Julian pushed me to get out and play in front of people, and I'd miss notes all day and go back and do it better the next time. And the more playing in front of people that I did, the better better we got, and the more fluid we got. And you got to go make lots of mistakes. I don't care who you are. You don't just pick up a guitar, go out in front of people, kill it, go to the top. You got to work.
For me, it probably starts off as a lot of kids, my first Led Zeppelin album. I mean, seriously, it was. I found my dad's collection and put it on, and I was just in love with music right away. And then I was around 16, and a friend of mine was getting rid of his drum kit, and I said, "Don't get rid of it, let me borrow it." And I was pretty bad, you know, just like every kid is at drums, I'm sure. And I come home one day, and I hear this somebody's drumming to a James Brown album. And I walk around the corner, and it's my dad. And I was totally floored, because he had never told me he played drums at all. And so I kind of, you know, I was like, "You asshole," you know, because he never told me anything. So the more I started playing, I found I really had, like, just rhythm, like, within me just from him, because he had played growing up. And that's kind of how I got into it. I started just playing with other people. I started out in a jam band thing and moved into blues and jazz progressively, into a more structured music style as, you know, I came along and finally met these guys and just kind of all fell into place.
For me, music started choir all through high school, and ever since singing at my brother, you know, when I was little, to choir high school. And junior high, they needed a bass player in a jazz band at my school. And as a joke, I did it, and it turned out to be not too bad. And played for about 6 years and put it down, moved up here, up here to Chico, and always bugged my brother to, you know, let me play with him and let me just get on a track with you guys. And finally I skipped over my brother, which is the DJ of the band, and talked to Julian, and apparently they'd been looking for a bass player for about 2 years. So finally got in after 2 years of bugging him. And been the biggest fan. Carol's the biggest fan, second biggest fan of the band for a long time. So knew all the songs by heart.
Well, I started by just knowing that I wasn't going to give up on music. I just listened way too much. So I eventually got a bass. Didn't really know anyone to jam with, and Alex drug me out and kept pushing me to play and play. So we eventually started a little jam thing back east, and he didn't tell me that there was no bass player for this band for like 2 years. But he constantly invited me out, and I finally took the offer, and now I'm here. Okay. Here for now.
You know, the older I get, the more I realize I was pretty fortunate. I was raised in a musical family, and there's a lot of gospel and country western and John Denver and things like that, but every single person in my family can play at least 4 or 5 chords on a guitar, and that's usually about all they can play. But, you know, some have pursued further, and my mother was a big influence on that, playing acoustic guitar, and I actually didn't even pick it up till I was about 16, which is now over 10 years ago. And I don't know if you've done the math, but the band's only been together a couple years. So in that time, I was haphazardly writing songs and traveling around the country. I'm from the Detroit area, and just kind of traveled around a bit and found myself. And then when I looked around, there were a bunch of these cool musicians around me too. So, I don't know. That's kind of how I got into music. As an adult, you kind of look back at your childhood and think, you know, what did you get that most kids didn't, and how can you utilize that as an adult? Mm-hmm. And I think musical upbringing was that for me.
And what's your writing process for the lyrics?
You listen to the radio, and you turn it down, and you just kind of bebopping along, making up stuff. But most often, how it comes about is I'm sitting at home, and I pick up my guitar, and I go, "Oh man, I've never done this little maneuver." And I'm like, "Well, how can I write a few chords around that maneuver?" And then I'll put out all the music, and I'll be jamming the music, and these guys will hear it. I'll be like, "There's no lyrics yet, but here's what I got," and we'll just jam out. And then one day I'll be like, "Well, there's the lyrics." But I definitely wait for the music to set the tone.
I started out as a skateboarder, listening to punk rock. Seriously, I started listening to punk rock, Green Day, Offspring. Kind of the same CDs me and my sister used to rock out on the way to school. Three bands that definitely influenced me were Rage Against the Machine, Sublime, and the Beastie Boys. I think we all have listened to them, and just really solid musically, and most of them involving a little bit of hip hop, mm-hmm. especially Rage. Turntables. I don't know. Has anybody heard of Portishead?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Portishead. That's what made me want to be a DJ. Just nice. The way that that guy. He's just so musical with the way he uses the turntables, and I really respect him for what he did. I couldn't tell you his name, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He gets mad respect from me. The way it actually came to be was I just got into hip-hop, started loving turntables, and started buying records. That's really how I got into a lot of strange music, jazz, a lot of jazz, funk, and soul.
So jazz is strange, huh?
America. Compared to Green Day, jazz is a lot different.
Yeah, with the years.
Definitely. Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I was drawn to you guys from the beginning is I really think you have an original sound, and if you had to identify yourself with another band, who would it be?
And I'll give the half response before the serious one comes. The other day I was talking to Jesse. I said, you know, man, I don't really need to be U2. I mean, we'll take it. But we don't need to be U2. I'm shooting for Hootie. Like, give us a couple years of, like, a fan base that remembers us when and maybe even shows up to our casino gigs, you know? Like, if we get those couple years, man, I'll feel good. I can't really think of any band that we sound like. And I think we've spent the past couple years trying to figure it out. I think there's a blend, some Incubus.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, even when we, you know, sometimes we like to throw a cover in our live shows, and it ends up sounding like it takes on, and you can tell it's a Here For Now sound. Because, you know, we could try to make it as original, to as close to the original song as we can, but it always will come back sounding a little like a Here For Now song. It's in that respect, it's so hard to compare us to any other band. We have a lot of different influences going on within it, and I think it's really just taking on its own, you know, it's its own animal right now, so we'll see what it turns into.
Yeah, I have a hard time boxing us in. I think a lot of people in, you know, almost any band you'll talk to say, oh, it's tough to box us in, you know, whether the most mainstream thing or not. But to say what other people compare us to, whether we agree with that or not, is you know, a little bit of John Mayer, a little bit of Incubus because of the DJ and throwing that stuff in there and the samples, and get a lot of Dave Matthews, and I think that we do represent a little bit of that. Whenever you're carrying acoustic guitars around and rocking out, you're going to get some of those references. But one of the best ones that I really enjoyed was when we played at the Starry Plow. Julie and I did. We played at the Starry Plow in Berkeley, and a guy said, "You know what? I have not heard acoustic guitars rock like that since Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young." And I like that because I really dug what they did, and I think we're percussive with our instruments as they were, and I think songwriter-oriented as they were. And I think, you know, given if they grew up in our day, they probably reflect our kind of a sound. So,
Amy wanted to know, if you guys had your choice of anywhere to play, what place would you really want to play?
I would say, first off, I'd like to play Red Rocks in Colorado, just because it's such a beautiful venue there. I mean, the way when the sun comes down, and it's setting, the rocks literally just turn bright red, and it's just outdoors in this huge canyon. And the other thing is, so many famous artists have played there, and I just feel really honored to even step on the stage as, like, some of the people that have set stage there. So that would definitely be my top pick, is Red Rocks.
I'm Jones. I'm Jonesing to play High Sierra Music Festival. Mm-hmm. And if they hear this, we would love to play High Sierra. Quincy is an amazing town, and that's just, it's a great experience.
Personally, I love the mountains and I love the ocean. So, you know, I would love to play any Bay Area venue, any big one, Shoreline, you name it. But I think, aside from that, I'd like to play the Greek Theater in Berkeley. It's a small arena. Tons of big names have played there. You can see everything from no matter where you're at in that place, you can see everything going on. And there's so much culture coming through. I'd really love to play at the Greek Theater in Berkeley.
Can't say I have a preference. I'd just like to get out there and keep playing.
I have no idea.
Chico High.
That was last night.
I think I just love to play anywhere that I haven't been before. Just to experience a new city and experience the new city's reaction to our sound. So that leaves a lot of places open.
So I think where I want to play, no spot location really comes to mind so much as maybe some musicians I'd like to play alongside or at the same festival with or open for, somehow just kind of be there and share a stage with, you know, like I've recently been turned on to Amos Lee and, you know, there's a lot of grassroots, you know, there's a new folk sound coming out right now. It'd be great to do something like Bonnaroo just so we could totally, mm-hmm. you know, access all these people really along our vein because, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but Chico is not really a folksy town. It's mm-hmm. it's more hard rock, kind of dirt rock garage band sound, and we've just been kind of creating and kind of nestling here, but it'd be really great to blow up somewhere, you know, with open ears.
Thanks, guys. All right, guys. Well, we're Pirate Pod, so we, at the end of the interviews, we like you guys to tap into your inner pirates if you can and give us a big pirate R to end the interview.
1, 2, 3. Arr!
To become what I am, a fortunate man, giving gifts freely, repaying what I can. I have climbed mountains to see what I could see. Came down with something that's got a hold on me. It's got a hold on me. And do something. Something.